Yeah, I spent the weekend up at Tara, and where they're trying to reroute the N3. And I ended up being the MC up there for the whole Friday night. But on the Thursday morning at dawn, I performed with it with a harpist, and the old Celtic place floor poetry for Tara, for them over an hour. And the sun came out just during that and then went away for the whole day. I almost turned into gold. It's been one of my dreams. To perform with a harp. It's the last page of the Labora Gabala, actually. I should read it for you. It's a 1,000-year-old book. Just the last page of it I'll read for you. Which was the first real attempt to take down the old Shanafis stories of the old myths of Ireland and the invasions and what have you. And because of this page, I think more than anything, it really affected me playing with this harpist, you know, that I was just going to take off and end up flying somewhere, you know. The two sons of Mill, famous in dignity, took Ireland and Britain. With them, there followed hither a gentle poet and a harper. Kier, son of Keish, the bright poet, the name of the harper, Kenfin. With the sons of Mill of bright fame, the harper sounded his harp. The princes, with many battles, took the kingdom of Ireland. They did it with brightness, merry the sound, Eber and Ehriman. They cast a lot swiftly about the great men of art, so that there fell to the lot of the southerner, the harper, just and fair. Melody of music more beautiful than any company is from the southward in the south of Ireland. It was thus it will be to the fortunate judgment with the famous seed of Eber. There fell to the lot of the northerner, the man of learning with great excellence. Hence the tribes who brought him boast knowledge of poetry and learning. Chris, As you can imagine, I was really inspired by it. And so, fun spirit came
into me. Century is that from? What century?
That's 1150, officially. So, Scott century. 1150 AD, the Book of Leinster. But those are from folklore that had been orally passed on for hundreds of years before that, you know? So I went up to the top of, this is in the halls of Tara, the banqueting halls of Tara, which kind of lead up towards the main rath and the main hill. And then afterwards I went up to the top of the hill and it said this poem, called These Kings of Tara. The winds blew Tara's name to us in Scythia, Egypt, Spain, Athens, Scandinavia, Normandy, Carthage, Rome and Constantinople. To us across the ages, the name of Tara has blown, and sweetly did her name arrive. So gently, we dropped our lives, left our homes behind, crossed the great forests and seas, to join her fold, to embrace her depths, her promises of life and youth, to behold her great delights, her great teachers, her great kings. But where have you been, kings of these days? Having tea with merchants, while night inherits our days. Where have you been, kings, while the sealing promises you made wither and refuse these fields, while dark lords break our sacred places and barge through the markets, plundering, unstayed? How have you smiled at these brothers who illuminate the new? What is the annual quota for nudges and winks? Which of tomorrow's qualities have you promised away? Did no one tell of the whispers that pour from sacred grounds, of the desecrations and banishments that surely follow? What praise will you receive, kings? and what satire of kings. Remember not the ways of Kerber and Kret, or these new world illusions. Turn your nostrils to the wind quickly, and help the child to grow instead. Kings of today, when will you show the beast to the sea? What Baru will oust this new domination, so the winds may blow gently again, and that once more her name may be heard. And then I've got a couple here that I wrote today, actually, in a really interesting workshop I did with Adam in the Crawford Gallery. We were going around looking at paintings and interpreting them through photos. So I came up with a couple which I thought kind of were worth reading. So the first one's called The Eclipse. The eclipse has never bothered me, never enticed me to go through. What else could I ever need? We can imagine anything. Upon wisps I soar way above the great sponge, each day going a bit higher before letting go. The fall is as if plunging back into a deep dream, mouth open, vapor drowning my thirst. Way down into the softness, as a hummingbird to nectar, my skin drawing in this deep elixir. How is it we are content with this perfection while the alien canine wars persist? They will never control us. Today, our feet touched for a moment. I felt something like coldness or warmth. I cannot tell. It came from the slightest brush and electrified me so that my elbows gave way and I crumpled, smiling. I curled downwards. Let's catch a cloud, you said. And we spun for miles up towards the eclipse, your eyes fixed upon its soft sheen. Come with me, you said. But there was no return. And though you glimpsed back for just an instant, I thought of holding on to you, but instead, let go. And all becomes one. Well, I should actually tell you.
Yeah,
the first one was inspired by a painting by Gerard Dillon called Stunts, which I don't know anything about Gerard Dillon or the other painter. In 1970, it's about just reading off this little sign next to the painting. This one is inspired by George Campbell from a painting called Still Light at My Window, 1968. They're both up there in the Crawford Gallery. All becomes one. The trans-complex mutation of reimagining returns to Hermes, the restructuring of things. Combined Mongolian and Aboriginal horns for a whispery do. To ease the changes as outside worlds dissolve and become your art, your love for the world. Skulls and ancient masks compete for the oblique imagery sharpened by divine contemplation. Blink once and there's a Taj outdoors, alive, cyclopean, loyal. A blink brings the history of architecture into culminated frenzy. Evolution passes before the cyclops within. Wheels and piranha jaws consume the curtains, never-ending curtains of your imagination, streaming longer with each breeze of creation. The jumble takes form, the outside world residing within, patient and eager, trusting in all things. When nothing changes, we have become blind. When everything changes, we are mute. The jumble is almost chaos, and just before breaking apart, in the moment of absolute exhaling, the glue becomes transparent, each piece accepting its new place, structure, form, stability. All these are guaranteed, no matter what. but sense. No sense. No sense is needed here. Just faith in your touch, knowing, as skulls do, that all becomes one. Great, thank you. That was PC and the MC. Right? So could we please welcome up to the podium, Anita Davis.
I just got it.
Mountains of isolation. John had great times when we once. I was attracted to him as well. We watched telly together. Amiable companionship, dormant volcano. I tried to break into your world with words written. My deaf and dumb housemate. We are both in a house for the disabled, where we found no path to link our mountains. After all, I was in a wheelchair too, and I am not trained for such an endeavour. We watched telly together and sent notes. He picks up more than I would imagine about what's going on. My feeling of sadness protects me from too much care. Anguish that we have to move on. We watched telly when he came into the sitting room. Didn't always know where you were coming from. We watched TV and dreamt of our relationship. He didn't want a volcano, but he would have got one. He would have been one, too. We watched TV, bittersweet, that last week. Friendship or companionship? I have spent too much time in your company, have become confused. Attempt to leave companionable time to sort out too many of the things I worry about all at once. False confidence overwhelm you with too much eye contact. She overwhelmed me with her vision. Can't stay in company too long now, afraid of my feelings. Am I beside myself? I've spent too much time with you, felt your feelings, not mine. Made your decisions, not mine.
Thanks, Anita. Next, it's really a pleasure to welcome back to the venue for the second time, and hopefully, definitely not the last time. From a Cork-based poet who I never knew was actually based in Cork until I actually read the back of his latest collection, which I have gift of right here, a lingering headless. Please can we have a warm welcome from Cliff Wedgwood.
Did you know that William Wordsworth was big into DIY? One day he was in Dove Cottage in Grafmere with his sister Dorothy, and he was plastering a wall, and he finished this lovely smooth plastered wall, and all of a sudden a great big daddy long legs crawled out of the skirting board, and he crawled up and his big daddy long legs got stuck in the wet plaster. And William said, "Dorothy, quick, get out your laptop. A poem has come into my head." So she got out her laptop and he dictated this poem. He said, "Spider, spider on the wall, ain't you got no sense at all? Can't you tell the wall's been plastered? Now you're stuck, you silly bastard." Not many people know that. When I was a teenager, I loved William Wordsworth, and I actually hitchhiked from London to Grafmere to visit his grave. But when I was 15, I worked for a man in central London, and every Friday night at 5:30, he'd give me a little brown envelope full of LSD. And shilling from town. I used to spend my money on, I used to smoke 20 Woodbines a day, but I gave up when I was 16 because I wanted to save up for a motor scooter. So, what was I going to say? We plumbers made some Woodbines, we Afton and Park Drive, 20 Capstan full strength, lucky to be alive. Rolling up Sun Valley, Old Hoban strong and sweet. Risler red in a box of Swan, as smoker's life complete. smoking down in Stockwell, puffing up Park Lane, rolling fags down Regent Street to Leicester Square again, until my head was spinning to London I had come, immature and innocent, in 1961. When sixpence was a tanner, a shilling was a bob, 12 coppers to a shilling I had a handy job. Oh, how my pockets jingled, no credit cards were found, 5 florins to a 10 bob note, and 8 half crowns a pound. Walking back to happiness, happy birthday, sweet 16, jiving at the 100 Club when trad jazz was the scene. Coffee at the Two Eyes, old Compton Street, my home. Heaven and hell, the macabre as well, I soon found where to roam. Down Windmill Street to the circus, up Greek Street to the square. Soho was my playground, a lad without a care. In a suit from Berwick Market that only cost £5. With drainpipe pants and Cuban heels, I really got around. In a pair of winkle pickers, I'd often stand and stare, reflected in shop windows, combing brill creamed hair. When sixpence was a tanner, shilling was a bob. 12 coppers to a shilling, I had a handy job. Oh, how my pockets jingled, no credit cards were found. 5 florins to a 10 bob note, and 8 half crowns a pound. Dave Brubeck at the Marquee, Alexis playing blues, the Troubadour in Chelsea, so many gigs to choose. All night at the Flamingo, to see young Georgie Fane, singing at the keyboard, while I played my teenage game. When Doreen was a dancer, who came from Canning Town, she thought I looked artistic. I thought she'd been around. I used to go and see her down the Sunset Strip. My innocence soon ended, and she let her garter slip. When sixpence was a tanner, a shilling was a bob, 12 coppers to a shilling, I had a handy job. Oh, how my pockets jingled, no credit cards were found, 5 florins to a 10 bob note, and 8 half crowns a pound. At 17 I was a mod, loved the Kinks, the Who and Rod, drove my Vespa down Cheapside, all the girls screamed for a ride. Levi jeans, Ben Sherman shirts, chatting girls in mini skirts. Down King's Road in shoes of suede, ever impatient to get laid. Frothy coffee, pinball games, Townsend sang I can't explain. Jukebox with the volume high, Friday night up west we'd fly. High on blues, then coming down, dancing close to Tamla Motown. Getting drunk at all night parties, popping pills like they were Smarties. Popping pills like they were Smarties. Doing wheelies at Waterloo, after work I'd wait for you, off to Brighton feeling free, candy floss and a sunset sea. Wearing parkas along the prom, summertime the air was warm, sleeping under the midnight pier, bag of chips and a can of beer. You studied drama up the Strand, at 1 o'clock I held your hand, to Lion's Corner House we flew, cheese on toast and tea for two. I always loved the clothes you wore, the perfect image of Sandy Shore. You walked around devoid of shoes, then dumped me for a fella in the moody blues. He picked you up in his MGB on the town for a spending spree. Whiskey and coke in Chelsea pubs, backstage pass to all the trendy clubs. High on blues and coming down, dancing close to Tamla Motown. Getting drunk at all night parties, popping pills like they were Smarties. Popping pills like they were Smarties. In Polaroids I rode around looking cool in London town, singing whatever will be, plenty of spare fish in the sea. Meeting dates on Bond Street Station, talking about my generation. The year was 1964, when all the girls looked like Sandy Shore. High on blues, then coming down, dancing close to Tamla Motown, getting drunk at all night parties, popping pills like they were Smarties.
Just a new publication out, Lingering Adolescence. And where can one get these in court?
Off me at some time. I'm sort of selling at reading.
Okay. All right, so if you want one.
It's published by Lapwing in Belfast. You can get them off Lapwing in Belfast.
Okay. Thanks. Next we have the podium, Mr. Peter Donegan.
Thank you.
not really a poet. I just write a couple of songs every now and then, but I'm just trying this, so a bit nervous, and I don't think I can follow that at all. However, me being cheeky me, and I'm not, it's not that I think poetry is easier, and I really do love that kind of rhyming and stuff. Being a bit salty, I just decided to write them while I came in here, because I needed time to kind of sit, and I never got a chance today, so I don't think I'm that cheeky or anything, or I don't appreciate poetry, because I do love it, but obviously you'll see that I'm not really very good at it. But two came into my head today that I was really sorry about. Two things really came to me today, and one of them was what I call peace, really. And it's about North of Ireland. And it goes, anyway, on to the job. Today the British Army left my country, closed the gate on their last post. Shakespeare would be with his Henry V when they arrived. Propaganda was taken up by all poets in their stride. Spencer wrote in hate my people and their language. We were very few, but fierce in battle, but more to lose. It's okay. This, for me, is a good day. No fancy bisexual playwright or a taker of land with elegant wood can say Chucky a la like an Irishman can. Without a shot being fired, peace is a beautiful thing. Rather hang than go to Ireland. Post-traumatic shock is what you bring back to yourself when you go away a war. One is, I met this kid this morning and he reminded me a little bit momentarily of me when I was getting a bit nervous again. Sorry, I'm just all over the place. He reminded me a bit of me when I was young. Unfortunately, he's not from the same area, but he's from the same city. And he just came to me there and I'll just give it a go anyway. It's just more of a song. It's actually music came to me first, but it goes like, it's rainy day anyway. Rainy day, rainy day. In Coolock. Side slammed, head splitting, drinking a bottle of aftershock. The house of fear isn't very dear to me. The monster who lives there has emotionally and mentally wrecked me. Now fear has turned to hate, and anger turned to frustration, sitting in the rain. With nowhere else to take this, I ask God to take away the pain. Rainy day, rainy day.
What is a poet? Yes, we have service any time.
Oh, no. This is, and it's going to read one, it's just about how a party I was at a couple of years ago. Obviously, I woke up from after my dad, and my friend's workmate was at a house party dressed up as a catwoman, and she was standing outside having a cigarette, and she called us in, so. Just a got fancy this. I'm also still I easily remember standing in the kitchen, talking to Michael Jackson and the male nun, drinking tepid beer from a cracked coffee mug and smiling to myself at the night's randomness. At how a cat call invoice on a 2 AM walk home has resulted in me singing happy birthday to Wonder Woman and flirting with a guy wearing an Afro wig and a tank top when my friend kisses Fred Flintstone in the living room. Surrounded by dancing drag queens and sobbing superheroes. There's not a bar of kryptonite in sight. My friend decides it's time for us to leave when Fred invites her back to bedrock. And so we show the letters that need to change. Squint good morning to the sun and cackle our way home.
Thank you. And next up, please, Sinead Ryan.
Yeah, sure. How are you? Okay. This one is called Down the Aisle. The church was packed that day. There wasn't a dry eye in the place. I held you on my arm as I gazed down at you shrouded in white. Memories flooded my heart as the music drifted around us. Memories of things you hadn't done. Things that now you never will. We brought you here last week for your christening, and it's in that same gown today that we bring you to your grave. Okay, this one is called Thieves in the Night. Last night, it must have been, when thieves came while I was asleep. Morning opened my eyes to see the marks they left. Sagging skin, crow's feet. Eyes where fear resides. But much more was taken than marks were left. Innocence molded to wisdom has been stolen. Beauty and strength no longer shield my core. Gone now is the confidence of yesterday's youth. And today a ragged, coverless book sits rotting on the shelf. And this one is called A Time to Mourn. Silence moves like a presence, filling the space between us. The uncomfortable weight of words unspoken leaves the air thick with tense confusion, with unknowing. Pain lies unacknowledged, festering, abraded by each wordless moment of grief. Grief of such magnitude that everybody tries to escape into the silence. Be stoic. Be strong. Be brave and be a fool. Because grief needs to scream. Pain needs to cry. Silence needs to shout. And I need to mourn.
Next, to be podium, yeah, Jennifer Rich.
So I won't do much explaining, but I'm from St. Louis in the U.S. and I talk about a singer from that city that helped me find my identity from that region. So it's another identity from place home. So his name is Jay Farrar, and he sings for kind of a country rock band called Uncle People. Anyway, so here's the poem. Taxicab Sonnet. Dear Jay, I dreamt you were my taxi driver. We rolled Missouri hills to midnight trails, the path for pilgrims of the muddy river, who thirst for escape when sleeping fails. I woke with shame at dreaming you mundane. However, us Midwestern sad eyes share a queasy realism in our veins that keeps ego questions rare. I must confess, I ghosted at your shows, too cool for country, too lonely to leave. You taught me that the slide guitar could know the sound the river will wail as she heaves, and beauty is to breathe her tears in the air, and we will drive like we paid to get there.
You can clap at full volume now. I think
you
should get a
boat
on stage. Anyone?
Huh?
Anyone?
I this one's crap, so
we'll give
you
till next week.
All
right. Well, thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks.
Next up, so we can have a welcome for Anne-Marie Grancher.
This one is called Sudden. Tree walk into room, two men, one woman. Two in black, one in a long blue velvet dress. Sharp silence cuts through room, and like that. Fingers raised over tiny strings, a bow bursts through the sky. Sudden, quick, crazy, then slow, soft, quiet. Fingers now glide, bow slightly touch the strings. Such music fills out, how, Soft, harmonious, strong, vibrant, exciting. Bursts of energy and calm all at once. The whole room becomes encaptured in a dreamlike state. Your heart races with each beat, it slows with each touch. It follows the sound and feels the rhythm. You sit back and let yourself fall into the fantasies and the stories. You lose all sense and let the powerful notes and stories just take you away. Each instrument, drum, beats, fades, rolls, glides. It's breathtaking. Each ballet telling a story of love, loss, happiness. So much, so truly on tour.
I think you should stand in the middle of the room when you say you're fine. Then everyone will defecate you. Should we have Aaron?
No,
give them a chance to leave.
Maybe. Just give them a minute.
My organizational skills are disintegrating.
We did this, I wrote this today. We had an exercise. We went to the Crawford Art Gallery and
you wrote your own.
So he's been the smell of its sweetness. Like honey freshly taken from the bees, looking past the sphere-shaped yellow mass, give me world and life perspective. Unbeknown to it all, an animal mastered by man eats the grass from the field. The redness under the yellow mass, like thick blood oozing from its veins. A green tall bottle glistens in the sun, light with two green stalks with flowers of white and yellow. The small young tree is healthy with light brown heather-like material in its branches. Yellow mass open but not ready to be tasted represents the dark core of civilization. Thick skin, weak flesh and a dark heart. The black hut in the nearness of my observations when questioning the idea of my reckoning. The pine trees nearly ready for the Christmas festivities. Like a globe of the world on its pedestal, a small percentage of the mass of the universe.
Miss Helen Ronan Kavanagh.
What are you trying to do?
I'm blocking the yellow line.
Okay. So I read this one last week, but you weren't all here. So I'm reading it again for Lainey, because I wrote it for her in 2002, and she was there studying ballet, and now she's back. She knows all about the ballet. Okay. These are new things that are on my glasses anyway. Because it's called Manchurian Red. Okay. Subtle or mild, neither befit description of a landscape or people. North America had Indian red. Manchester has red. houses, halls, walls, churches, steeples. Fools and Man City fans unite in rage when they see it. Brick after brick, building after building, it goes on. Town Hall sees Prince Albert on red throne he does sit. On Oxford Road, brick strong, trams rattle by. But still they gaze, up high, down low, left and right, a sandstone maze, a football craze. Day and night, the colour of passion, the colour of fear. The rain dilutes dull brown, and sunshine draws it near, down, down. Permeating consciousness until the soul is led. Industrialized generations, angry looking seriousness. Manchester, my head. The dance house blocks it out. Shadows, windows, protecting talent. Graceful souls flit and float. Unaffected, Klapska and Valiant. Calling yellow skin from afar, perhaps led by a contrasting star. Seeking fortune in corner shop. Work until they drop. However, on happy Mondays though, stone roses grow in a musical oasis, filling Britpop gaps. Nice place, ah yes, for a communal pit. Open season here, they never miss.
From now on, you know, it's your own responsibility to get your name down here, right?
Yeah.
Could we please welcome Mr. Seamus Harrison?
Four-wheel drives, I call them urban cowboys. To free our cycle lanes, we'll grab a verb. The chopper's now the last means of patrol. Off-roaders feel the need to mount the curb. To smug, their smog's an aromatic herb. This tow truck finds the way to self-control. To free our cycle lanes, a noun and verb. With gridlocked bull bars come across superb. At last the green, my bike's again in pole. Off-roaders wheel to speed and mount the curb. A sea of doldrummed hooters still reverb as gloves massage the idle cruise control to free our cycle lanes to noun and verb. No waiting seems to some a futile blurb. Each urban plan entails that meek cajole. Off-roaders steal the lead and mount a curb. Will clearways need an AK toting serb? Again, lack of space will take its toll. To free our cycle lanes, the yellow verb. Off-roaders peel the greed to mount a curb.
villa now.
Yeah, villa now. This is about all these people that ring up offering you telephone services. And I call it cold call. Your precious time for a moment or two. Your service provider is currently who? Our latest rendition, because of attrition, we're in a position to offer free minutes and modems to you, and channels as clear as a didgeridoo. Another southward item. Pitcairn Island is a long ways away from here, and when the mutineers landed there, they set fire to the bounty of the ship, and this is 40 years later. The next people that landed found one survivor. It's called Tradewind. Seaman Adams, sole survivor, 40 years on. For a box of pencils and paper, I will trade Cook's final three volumes, their margins trimly annotated by Bly, saved from our flaming hull. If it please the Creator, grant me freedom to live out my days with this community reliant on me. Let bygones be bygones. Amen. The mink. A sea snake. Look, it's an otter. He holds course straight as a hake, once turning his squat head in the sunlight and mean dog fish eye glinting. Is it true, Dad, the mink would spring onto a donkey's neck? Recreational violence. He skims over polished stones, wriggling his brown gel coat to merge with the boulders. Not going to mate in that farm again. And finish up this one called QE2. She was entering a skiddy one time. So. QE2. Passengers. Deck upon deck. Resplendent, camcordant, shooting day trippers and lovers who pan back at Hawaiian clad masses, while each sheltered lifeboat, snug tight in her davits, towers over the evening. Some silent folk still with Hurley-esque zeal, gone to great lens, tripodding and zooming, strapping layer after layer along mother ship's side. A school of slow coaches clutters the keys, while leprechauns vie for room with cut crystal. The brass band strikes up a bright marching air. All radar scanners warming and twirling as blunt boats stand off, each reading a bite of umbilical line. I'll shortly be tugged from my deep water berth. Thank you.
Thanks very much. So if there are no more poems, no, then I'd love to invite up here Mr. Finn Barrow. Make as much noise as you like.
I'm doing another one at this moment, but come to my gig at the 4th of July. We'll shoot off a few fireworks.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a song I wrote about an aged great hero, and I played it last week. But I broke a string and my phone went down on me. I ended up singing it on my knees. But it won't happen this week, hopefully. This rain frog. Okay, so this is Bellerophon. Let me tell you about this man, his name's Bellerophon. He's got the reputation of being Corinth's blackest son. For no apparent reason, you get the fellow Corinthian. Now he stumbles through the desert as an exiled Grecian son. Hey! Somehow he insisted the services of Pegasus, for you knew he was hovering above the town of Argos. Then he sought refuge in the wing of King Prometheus. But if you knew what would happen there, I'm sure you'd have been dismissed. He came to the attentions of that whore of an Argive queen, for she saw him the finest thing she had ever seen. But if she thought he'd be tempted by the lure of a royal mint, she'd be sorely disappointed as they thought her quite unhinged. Ripped by rejection, the queen became a liar and told her husband he had tried to force himself upon her. Aeus, he was outraged, though he thought his wife a whiner. Told her dear Bellerophon, piss off to Asia Minor. Became a hero of formidable repute, slaying mythical creatures, but big as damn hands at the loose. He felt a tad self-conscious at being labeled such a brute. But he recalled Argos anyway, and he gave that bitch the boot. Ha ha ha, and I don't care, so good I could be a god. Pegasus the saddleman, it proves the newly taught. I think I'll visit Zeus up there on Mount Olympus. I'd take my true place on the Pantheon. Yeah, that would be splendid for us. Off he went like the clappers with a big complacent grin. Zeus saw him coming, but didn't like the look of him. So he stuck his face right through the clouds and looked like a big hairy moon. And Pegasus almost wet himself and Bellerophon fell to his doom. Goes exaggerated, and what is told you's a lie. Bellerophon just broke a leg, but now he's lame for life. And in his twilight years, what went through his head? Oh, that's a rhetorical question, who cares, the fucker's dead. What's the moral of the story? I'll tell you if I can. There's nothing worse than godly aspirations within man. Cause when your ego swells to the size of a small principality, oh, something will always happen to remind you of your mortality. Oh yeah!
Yes, okay, so...